One of the more controversial passages in the New Testament is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We'll read that right now and see what it says. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We must understand that in the life of every individual, every human being, sin is a reality. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's you and that's me. Everybody who has ever reached an age where they're responsible for their own actions is guilty of sin. It's not a matter of inheriting sin. We don't need Adam's sin to be sinners. We've got enough of our own problems. And so we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The problem with that is the consequence of sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the apostle says that the wages of sin is death. Now, he talks about the wages of sin being death. He's not talking about just keeling over and dying. He's talking about separation from God. He's talking about an eternal destiny in a place where we don't want to go. We need to have our sins taken away so that we don't have to suffer the kind of death that's being discussed in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We need to have our sins removed or remitted. Now, the text tells us that baptism is unto the remission of sins. Does this mean that baptism is necessary? And this is where the controversy falls in. There is a large group of Christians who believe that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But what does the Bible say? That's really where we're going to find the answer to that question. Is baptism necessary for the remission of sins? Well, there are a couple places that we want to look that answer the question directly. The first place is Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Now, there Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he's delivering unto them the Great Commission. And he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Now, the passage does not say he that believeth and is saved can be baptized if he wants to. And yet that's the way the world looks at this verse, that we're saved and then if we choose to be baptized or at an appointed time of the church, we submit ourselves to the command to be baptized. But before then, we're already saved. Salvation then is not involved with being baptized. Now, some have made this argument that it doesn't say that a person has to be baptized. It doesn't say that he'll be condemned if he's not baptized, and therefore baptism isn't essential. I'd like to give an illustration with reference to my phone number, which eventually you'll see on the screen. My telephone number is 1-480-898-3651. But be sure you dial the 480. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to dial the 898 or the 3651. You have to dial that. Well, why would I say be sure to dial 480? Because a lot of times people forget to dial the area code. And so you have to remind them. Jesus was sending his disciples out into a world where the main concern of people, even among the Jews, was the form and not the condition of the heart. And so he tells them to teach, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But don't just go through the form. It's got to be an act of faith. You've got to really believe and have trust and confidence in Jesus if this baptism is going to work. Now, that's why Mark 16 and verse 16 is worded that way. It is not meant to relieve people of the necessity of baptism. Now, we look back at our text, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." And we'll examine the context of this just a little bit. Peter has preached his sermon, and he's demonstrated through prophecy and through the things that were occurring then, and the things that he and his fellows had witnessed, that Jesus was indeed the Christ, and that he was raised from the dead. And in the conclusion of his sermon, he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye have crucified." That's verse 36. Now, they were impressed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, but they had crucified him. They had put him to death. They felt guilty and they wanted to know what to do about it. And so it says in verse 37, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do?" Now, what shall we do about what? About the sin that they had committed. What are we going to do to get out from under the guilt and the condemnation that we've brought upon ourselves by putting to death the Son of God? And Peter's answer is the answer that he would give to all of us. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ under the remission of sins. Now, we look at this statement of Peter, and in the King James Version, the Old King James Version, it says that baptism is for the remission of sins, and some have suggested that that word "for" means because. And that's not what it means at all. Looking up the word that is translated "for" or "unto," which is spelled E-I-S in the English, it means to denote purpose, in order to. That is, for the forgiveness of sins, according to Arnton Gingrich, lexicon of the Greek language, in order that sins might be taken away or forgiven. So it's for the purpose of accomplishing the forgiveness of sins. That's what Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says. That's what it intends. The disagreement over Acts 2 and verse 38 has very little to do with what it means. Well, we might argue and wrangle over the purpose of the word "for" or "unto." But those who we wrangle with generally agree that what Peter is teaching is that these people need to be baptized in order to have their sins taken away. The problem has to do, are we going to accept the authority of it? We look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, and we see the same wording used by Jesus as he is about to institute the Lord's Supper. He's talking about the fruit of the vine or the grape juice. And in Matthew 26 and verse 28, he says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto the remission of sins." Who is it that would suggest that Jesus poured out his blood because our sins have already been remitted? I don't think anybody would believe that or accept it. Then baptism is not because our sins have already been remitted, but in order to accomplish that, just like Jesus poured out his blood to accomplish the forgiveness of our sins. Now, in studying the passage again, and the subject that is suggested there, that is baptism for the remission of sins, we must remember that the remission of sins is in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, Paul is discussing the blessings that we have in Christ. He says in verse 5, "Having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." This passage teaches that redemption is in Christ, and it's in the shedding of his blood. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation for whom? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, what about those who are outside of Christ? Well, there's condemnation for them. That's the clear implication of that passage. Now, one other passage that we want to look at is Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Where Paul says that God delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter says, "For in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved." So salvation, remission of sins, the taking away of sins, is in Christ Jesus. Now the question arises, how can we get into Christ? And what does all that mean anyway? Well, being in Christ is not getting inside of something physical. It's not something mystical that can't be understood. It's just a figure of speech that explains the fellowship that we have with Him. We are in Christ, in fellowship with Christ. We are one with Christ. And that's where we have our forgiveness. Now, In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we find how one gets into Christ and puts Him on, that is, avails himself of the remission of sins that is available only in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Therefore ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Now, if those who were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, what about those who were not baptized into Christ? Well, they haven't put on Christ, so what Christ has to offer is not theirs. Now, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." I want you to note here that this passage does not say that baptism is a sign of anything. It is not an outward sign of an inward grace, at least not according to this passage. There are no words that indicate that in this passage. What baptism does is it brings us into fellowship with Christ in His death. It is in baptism that we die with Jesus, that we actually experience His death in a sense or in a figure. He dies for us. And I would like for you to notice once again, beginning with verse 4, "We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." This walking in newness of life is a resurrection in a form, but it's not the resurrection at the end of time. It's a resurrection from the world of sin and the life of sin, that we might live a new life for Him. Follow with me, if you will, the next couple of verses. He says in verse 5, "For if we have become planted with Him or united with Him in the likeness of His death," that is, in baptism, which is the likeness of His death, "we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." He was raised to walk in a new life. His body came back to life. We are raised to walk in a new life, live a different way, a new way. He says in verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him." When is the old man crucified with Him? When do we die with Jesus? When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, when we're baptized in His name for the remission of sins, that the body of sin might be done away. We are crucified with Him. We join Him in His crucifixion for this purpose, that the body of sin might be done away. If a person has not participated with Christ in His death, then the body of sin is still there. And he participates with Christ in His death by being baptized into His death, by being immersed in water for the remission of sins. And so we want to be baptized because we want to be saved. We want to be rid of the sin that plagues our lives. We no longer want to be bondservants of sin, but free from sin. He says again, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that hath died is justified from sin." The one who has died is justified from sin. Does that mean that I have to expire, or in the modern parlance, croak, before I can be justified? And the answer is no. I can die with Jesus by participating with Him in His death when I'm baptized. And when that occurs, then I'm justified from sin. And that's what baptism really is all about. It brings us into this fellowship of Christ in the death that He died for our sins. And so we want to be baptized for the remission of sins. Salvation is promised only to those who are willing to do what God tells them to do. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." It's not enough just to acknowledge who Jesus is. It's not enough just to accept Him as your personal Savior. And friends, I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where it tells us to pray through. Now, praying through is an old expression, I know that, but it's kind of like saying the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. That concept is not in the Bible. Yes, we're supposed to pray. Yes, we're supposed to ask for God's forgiveness. But in order to come into Christ, where forgiveness is, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've got to be willing to repent of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38 tells us. We've got to be willing to confess Jesus, just as Timothy confessed the good confession. And then we must be immersed in water. Can a person go to heaven if he doesn't believe? Can a person go to heaven if he's living in sin and he refuses to repent? Can a person go to heaven if he doesn't confess the name of Jesus Christ, if he's ashamed of it? If he can't go to heaven without those things, what makes us think that he can go to heaven without doing the other thing, that is, being baptized? Did you know that in every case of conversion in the book of Acts, every single one, baptism is mentioned. Either they were baptized or they were commanded to be baptized. Faith is only mentioned in two. Repentance is only mentioned in two, or one or two. Don't know exactly how many, but it's not every one, out of about 8 or 10. So, and confession is made in one. And so we don't want to neglect the thing that God has said is necessary. Now, that doesn't mean that all a person has to do is be baptized. That's foolishness, because he has to believe in Jesus. He has to place his trust in him. In fact, baptism is an act of faith. It's also an act of repentance. We have been doing what we want to do. Now we're going to do what God wants us to do. And of course, in baptism, we confess to the world that we believe in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is all about. But baptism is for the remission of sins. And it is that moment when we're baptized that we are brought in to Christ. It is Christ's will that we be baptized. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them." Baptizing them. Mark 16, 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Therefore, baptism is for the remission of sins. Now, we read in the Bible about a man named Saul. He was a man from Tarsus. He was a member of the council. He was, for all practical intents and purposes, a rich young ruler. And as a rich young ruler, he was faced with an important question when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that question is what he had to do to obtain forgiveness for persecuting the church. What did Jesus want him to do? He told him to go to Damascus and be told thee there what thou must do. And so, when Paul went to Damascus, he met a man by the name of Ananias, and Ananias told him what to do about his sin. In Acts 22 and verse 16, it says that Ananias said to him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now the implication of that is that when Ananias made that statement, the Apostle Paul, soon to be the Apostle Paul, was still in his sins. When was Paul saved? I've heard people say that Paul was saved when he saw the light. Well, when he saw the light, he didn't even know who Jesus was. He couldn't have believed. And there are some who would argue that you don't have to believe, that belief is an act that God places on you through the Holy Spirit. But Romans 10, 17 says faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come from a direct act of the Holy Spirit. He didn't know what to believe because he hadn't heard yet. He didn't know who Jesus was. When he found out who Jesus was and he acknowledged Him as Lord, was he saved? No, because according to Ananias, he was still in his sins. When he fasted and prayed for 3 days, in Damascus. And then Ananias came in and gave him back his sight. Was he saved then? No, because he was still in his sins. Ananias still told him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." And Paul could have said, "Oh no, Ananias, my sins are already done away with because I've already believed and I've already decided to change my life and live the way God wants me to live." Well, he could have done that. But it would have been wrong because he was still in his sins. Ananias told him that he was still in his sins, that he needed to be baptized and wash away his sins. Now, Ananias wouldn't have told him that if he didn't believe. He would not have told him that if he wasn't willing to repent and confess the name of Jesus. But because he had come this far, he told him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Therefore, baptism is for the remission of sins. Now, the conclusion of this lesson is natural. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, now's the time to take care of that. You need to be baptized. You need to be immersed in water for the remission of sins. If you want to go to heaven, and we all want you to go there, the easiest thing that God asks anybody to do is the thing that people most naturally and most rapidly reject, and that is to be born with Jesus in water, to die with Him, to be raised to walk in newness of life. If you haven't been baptized, then you need to be baptized for the remission of sins.